Welcome back to The Shepherd's Pie, a slice of faith for our messy lives. I'm Tony Kolank, the author of inspirational fiction for teens and adults, as well as a legal columnist for Practical Homeschooling magazine and a professor at Ave Maria School of Law. You can find out more about me and my writing at my website, antonykolank.com. There you're going to find links to my six-book medieval series for teens called The Harwood Mysteries, as well as my ongoing adult trilogy from Chrism Press called The Incarnate Series, which is a supernatural thriller. But today, I'll be speaking with Jesus Canchola Sanchez about returning to the faith from the LGBT lifestyle. My guest today is Jesus Canchola Sanchez, author of Escape from Natura Meta, which was published earlier this year. Jesus received the Hispanic Playwrights in Residence Award by Intar Theater, and he won the Pregones Theater Asuncion Playwrights Competition. He was a producer on a morning talk show that aired on Telemundo 47 in the tri-state area, and he's appeared on NBC's Late Night with Conan O'Brien and on stage in several theater productions. Before his return to the Christian faith, Jesus also received acclaim for his children's book and for a Mexican feature film, both that were LGBT-based stories, and we'll be hearing about Jesus' journey back to faith during today's show. Jesus, welcome to The Shepherd's Pie.
Thank you for having me on, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
So maybe could you share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and what your own journey has been leading up to this novel?
Yes, definitely. You know, I started off my faith journey being born into Catholic faith. And at the age of around 13 or 14, you know, I decided to stop going to confirmation class, which is one of the sacraments, right? And my mother didn't find out that I wasn't going to class till the final days, when she was told that I couldn't be confirmed because I wasn't going to class. And she had one of those like disappointed conversations with me, you know. That's like a journey that began in my rebellion against the faith, and also the exploration of my writing into different kinds of themes. I think I really went into this very secular space of exploration, you know, and really far left ideologies. You know, I was involved with communist groups. I was invited as a youth to Cuba when I was 18, 19. I went to very liberal arts school, which opened me up to a whole set of ideologies. And at that time, through my writing and my creative work, I started to explore a lot of these similar themes in the work that I was doing. You mentioned kind of the playwriting work that I was doing, and I was really exploring gender identities. I was, you know, exploring anything that wasn't Christian, basically. You know, I was figuring out Buddhism and Hinduism. I became a yoga instructor, and all of these things were taking me further and further away from the faith. I was also at that time identifying myself as a gay man. I lived for much of my adult life as an openly gay man, and it took me to New York City, where I ended up continuing my education. And that's where the playwriting work happened. That's where, like, professionally I started to write. And there just started to be a void in my heart, you know. And even though I was not actively practicing the faith, I would still find solace in the church. So I would find my way into the church. And I think God also had my grandmother and my whole family, actually, who were really supportive throughout all my processes. And were just really loving. But my grandmother in particular always reminded me of my relationship to the Lord and her own relationship through her example. You know, she was the only one I would go to Mass with. So all of this kind of journey brought me to, eventually brought me back home. You know, I decided to leave New York City and return to the Midwest in Chicago, which is where my family is from and where I'm from. And since that return home really represented also a return to faith, I started to step back into the church. And that just really opened up a whole new understanding of what it is to be a man of faith. It's been now about, I would say, about 7 years or so that I've been working through this proactive relationship. And at that time, I also began to understand fully the teachings of the church, which took me away from a lot of ideologies, including my identification as a gay man. I no longer identify as such Thankfully, I found great resources within the church, including Courage International, which is a resource and apostolate that provides resources for men and women who have same-sex attraction and provide community and just a lot of support to be able to understand and live the Catholic teachings for people who have this same-sex attraction. So that included also a change in my voice, in terms of my creative voice and the things that I wanted to explore. And that's how Escape from Natura came about. That is the first project that has come from this particular time in my life. But it turned out to be this dystopian story with this character, and it has some parallels to my own kind of journey, but it's completely a fictional account of this young man who's born into this totalitarian tribe that is trying to control everything in a post-apocalyptic world, you know? And in my brain, what's left of the post-apocalyptic world in the United States is a strip of the Midwest, the South, and, you know, a bit of Texas, and it goes all the way down to Mexico. So there's like this great journey that this character takes, which is also symbolic of the journey that I've taken to return to faith. And he finds his way to God as well.
Yeah, there is a lot to unpack there. And if we can circle back around, I'd love to follow up with some questions on your own journey, because I know, you know, so many of us have people that we love in our lives, that people of faith, they wind up going and doing many things that are outside the faith. A lot of times it's difficult for people in the faith to, you know, understand and, you know, can we hope that somebody would return? So it sounds like your story has really got a lot of hope in it. So I want to return to all of those kinds of themes, but I want to hear a little bit more about your book. So you've told us it's a dystopian book. So what are the other themes that you explore in this?
It started to be outlined in my brain while we were all going through the COVID pandemic. I started to question, like, what our relationship to the state is and how much power the state has to inform or misinform populations, and then how easily we can be persuaded one way or the other about different pieces of information, whether they're fact or not. And that's how the tribe Natura Meta was born. You know, I kind of figured I began with this character being born in this totalitarian kind of tribe that has taken everything faith, everything outside of what they deem scientific and human ethics out of their system of governance. I wonder, like, what if I had been born in this state? Like, what would I be like? And that's how the character Gabriel came about. So this young man is turning from a boy to a man, right? He's going through that journey, and all he knows is this tribe. But at the same time, he has these visits, these dreams of an ancestor that gives him an alternative, that gives him different ideas and tells him more about where he actually comes from. It's a grandmother character, which is connected to my own personal story, right? And she begins to talk to him about God, and he's never been exposed to God. He doesn't know anything about that, right? The church is a foreign concept to him, but she begins to really instill in him that root, you know, that she is a Christian. He comes from her as well. They're connected not just by DNA, but also by spirituality and faith. And so he begins to open his heart to that and begins to explore it, which means that he has to escape his tribe, because he's in the beginning of the story, he is scheduled to be transitioned into a female because they have a quota system in his tribe. So before that happens, he ends up escaping his tribe, and then he ends up going on this journey, discovering different tribes that teach him about manhood, that teach him that there are oral traditions, that even though there are tribes that are trying to take information away, that there are still people fighting to keep it alive. And in this case, it's Christianity, right? And he ends up having continue on his mission, which is taking him further south to his root home of Mexico, where his grandmother's like, that's where you can find the Bible. That's the mission. He has to find the Bible. And you take that journey with him, and you see how he interacts with these different people, these different sets of information that he has, and how he ends up becoming a man, ultimately a Christian man.
Wow. You've got some interesting things in there, like the forced transitions and that kind of thing. So you're taking on some pretty controversial topics, and do you kind of feel like you're going where angels fear to tread? And have you kind of had some sort of feedback?
I'm speaking directly from my own experience and the bubbles that I have been a part of. I'm speaking from that place, but also adding flavor to it, right? Because it is fiction, so it's not like I'm telling my particular story. So I am adding drama to it. I am adding color to it. Though it's really interesting that as much color and as drama as I can add to it, I mean, the reality of where we are doesn't beat it. You know, I think there's some of us that are exposed to certain dystopian settings today, you know, that we wonder, it's like, whoa, I had no clue that was a reality, you know, and the transgender movement in particular, kind of. So I think these are all universal aspects that I think people, they're all relatable. Whether you live them yourself or you're just part of a community that is exposed to them, to me, none of this seems extreme because I think we're living it all. So the feedback has been really positive thus far. What has been a shift after building a fan base or a kind of a set of work that I had as a playwright, as you mentioned, my film, the children's book. I was on a very specific niche, exploring gender, exploring LGBT ideologies within my work. And that fan base is completely gone, which includes a circle of friendship that I had with people that were very close to me, that most of them are no longer part of my current circle of friendship, either because we just decided mutually to distance themselves or they decided to distance themselves from me because of sharing my own story. It can be really triggering for folks, especially if they identify as gay or transgender, because in some way, I'm no longer part of that. You know, I'm no longer, so it just causes a level of clash, and it's a challenge. There's no kind of guidebook that tells you how to manage those relationships when you step away from a very specific community like that. So it's something that I've been navigating. I think that's the one kind of challenge that I'm still currently going through. I think it's also been instructive. But I've made a very clear choice, and you know, I'm choosing the Lord and I'm choosing the relationship with the Lord above anything. And this is the right path that I need to be on. So it's worth it. And it's a blessing. I see it as a blessing.
Absolutely. And there are very strong feelings on all sides of these kinds of issues. And nowadays, as we've, really become more polarized in society, I'm sure that the community that you were referring to, views this as a betrayal to that community. There's probably a lot of anger, I can only imagine. How have you sort of personally navigated that? I mean, or has it not been as bad?
It has been painful, to be honest. The conversations have been kind, and you know, there hasn't been kind of a mean girl attitude or anything like that, you know, like towards me directly that I have experienced. Because these are people, I'm talking about people that I have relationships with, right? So these are people that I know and have known for many years. I think the pain that I'm talking about is the distance and beginning to understand that that distance is a healthy distance and that I need to be okay with it. And for someone that was such a part of your life for so long to no longer be there, you have to mourn that relationship. I think that's a natural thing that all of us will do, no matter what kind of distancing there is, whether it's with your family or close friends, right? So that has been the part that has been the most challenging to navigate. And as I go through it, you know, I'm learning, I'm figuring out healthy ways to manage it and also just building community. You know, I talked about Courage International. That has been a great source of support for me. The men and women that I have met through that and have been building really healthy platonic relationships with have really helped me, you know, because we are going through a very similar journey and we're really trying to live the faith and be open about where we're at, where we've been, and where we want to be, you know? And I think that's been a really healthy support system for myself.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And if it's all right, if I could kind of backtrack to a part of your journey, I'm assuming that your experience as a teenage boy, where you're recognizing the same-sex attraction and your journey that sort of led you to rebel, I guess, against the faith, I think is not unique. I feel like, many people that I've spoken to with a similar situation feel like, well, if God's not going to accept me, or if the church is not going to accept me the way I am, then I should go somewhere else. Or that might not be true then, and I'm going to find a different path. And I'm wondering if you could share a little bit about, is that an inevitable journey that somebody in your position would be taking? Is there anything that could have possibly led you not to go on that journey at that time? Or did it almost seem like you almost had to take that journey?
I believe each of us has a really kind of individual set of circumstances that take us through the path that we go through. Even though there are some parallels, I believe, for men and women in particular who have a same-sex attraction. And I think in my case, it didn't begin in adolescence. Unfortunately, I have a very distorted journey in my sexual evolution because I had to deal with violent trauma in my childhood, which informed my development. And, not everyone has that, but a lot of us do. And I think that really did inform eventually the rebellion and kind of honestly a coping mechanism of dealing, of shutting things out, which included in my case, shutting out my relationship with the Lord, because in some way I connected it with that trauma from my childhood. And I had to really navigate all of that. And I think I was exploring all these themes, and I was because I was coping. It was a protective mechanism. So in my case, I don't know that there was anything that anyone could have done in my childhood or in my adolescence. The two adults who took advantage of my childhood and who abused me, I don't know that anything could have helped that. Without me going through this full journey and arc of understanding and figuring out, one, how to manage that trauma healthily, and then two, how to figure out myself in this world as a man, and then figure out my relationship to God. And I think I had to live through what I had to live through to get to where I am today and to be able to tell my own story today. And then also to have the voice as a writer that I have today to share the kinds of stories that I want to share. I believe each of us has our own cross to bear, right? I mean, it's not just my own belief. I think that's a church teaching. And I think men and women who are same-sex attracted have a very specific kind of journey, and also within the faith itself. And I think we have very specific stories that we should be sharing with the world, because I think more within the faith should understand not just that there are people that are same-sex attracted, but also what the teachings actually are from the church on how we should all be living. Because chastity, for example, is not just about same-sex attracted people, it's about all of us. The sacraments are about all of us. So even though we have a different entryway, folks who are same-sex attracted, we ultimately end up on the same place and the same expectations, right? There's an equal level playing field here. It's not like there's some exceptional rules for people who have different kinds of sins. Like we all have to end up at the same place. And the church teaches us that we are all children of God, and we are all responsible for fostering that relationship and how we get there, right? And that was my cross. That's my cross. And I think there may be some parallels with other folks, but I think each individual case is different.
Yeah, and you mentioned, each of us having to carry a cross. And one of the things that I've wondered about, and it seems to me that like the same-sex attraction would be a cross from the Christian point of view, because people who are struggling with that would have to overcome this. And unlike maybe a chaste heterosexual person who could then enter into a relationship with the person they're attracted to, I'm pretty sure that the same-sex attracted people say, well, we don't get that option. And so that's an extra cross for us that we'd never be able, we have to stay celibate our entire lives in order to carry this cross. And I feel that that is a heavy cross for somebody to have to bear. And I'm wondering, as somebody who has been bearing it now yourself, what are your thoughts on that? Am I off base on even perceiving it that way? I'm just kind of curious what your thoughts are.
Being now part of this community actively, it's surprising how many same-sex-attracted people do end up choosing marriage as a vocation and have a healthy marriage and have a healthy life with their spouse. That they end up being able to deal with their cross and move forward, right? And build a life. I think for many, being a single celibate, that's the option, right? And that's where you end up going. And it's not easy. I don't think any road is easy. I mean, if you're a married man or a married woman, marriage isn't easy, right? Like, so being a celibate single, it's like you're in a relationship with the Lord, right? So that I can't imagine that being easy. For those of us like myself that are still figuring out vocation, for example, I mean, I'm going to be totally open here. Like, I've started dating women again the last few years to really just see, and to kind of build and have like a healthy perspective on that, and just having that as an option to see if that is where I need to go, if that's where the Lord is calling me, or if I am being called to singlehood, or maybe religious life of some sort, or missionary work, right? Like, I'm in the middle of that. And I think all of us are kind of in that, that are in that discernment space. We just have to be open to the experiences that the Lord is allowing us to live to take us there. And I think any woman, in my case, who is open to having a relationship with me will have to be open to having a relationship with someone that, that is broken and very specific ways of brokenness, and that I would have to be totally honest and open, right? So if that ends up being the path that the Lord wants for me, I am totally open to that, right? But if it is a different way of service, then I'm open to that as well. So I think we just have to be open to that. And I don't think we can prescribe for same-sex attracted people that they are going to end up single necessarily, though that is an option. There are many who have very fulfilling lives who are serving their communities in the way that the Lord wants them to serve, and they have joy.
And thank you for sharing all that. I mean, I know that there's so many people I think that are hurting because of people they love that, they don't know how to help. They don't know, how to even, imagine what they're going through. But you're right. I mean, if somebody's married, A, marriage is no picnic. It's a very difficult lifestyle also with many wonderful benefits. But when you make the choice to be married, and some people might be married and then their spouse becomes disabled, or maybe they're in not a great marriage, and so there's not a lot of affection or emotional support. And yet, if they want to remain true to that vocation, they are going to have to handle that for the rest of their lives also. So I suppose in some ways, maybe those crosses are not as unique as some might think, as you point out. One more thing I wanted to ask you about. You talked about your journey and how you came back to faith. And I know that's a very hopeful thought, I think, for those of us who, might have people in our lives that were like, gosh, how can they find their way back to the faith? What was it in your life that really brought you back to the faith? And is there anything that we can do if we're, friends or family members with somebody who is going through that you were going through that could help, lead them back to the faith?
One of the things that I think about that was very key, there wasn't like one particular moment in my experience that I can pinpoint and say, okay, this was the moment that kind of brought me back. It was a series of things. And I think my grandmother in particular, just her example and her love and her being a woman of faith and just being very open and expressive about her own faith and open about praying for me and asking me to go to church with her. And even if I didn't want to go, out of respect for her, I went, and she prayed for me. My family prayed for me. And I think the best advice that I can give to someone who has a loved one that is currently identifying as gay or transgender and that they are a part of their lives is to love them. Love them. And live your faith fully. Like, do not negate your faith in any way. Live it, express it. Have that person be around you in those moments of expression. Pray for them. It's a tricky thing, right? Because it depends. Sometimes people don't want to hear that and they're triggered even by a prayer. Yet you can't deny your own faith around them. because that would be a disservice to you and a disservice to God and a disservice to them. Because ultimately, they're going through their journey, and it might be that at this particular time, they cannot bear to even know that you have a relationship with God because they've broken theirs. But if they know that you love them, they will see a path, even if it's just about building a relationship with you, that then can mirror how they can build a relationship with the Lord. And I think that's what happened between me and my grandmother. She really just fostered that love that she had for me and that I had for her in a very healthy way. And she never forgot that I was the son of God and that she needed to remind me of that in her way. And it was sometimes in very indirect ways, just by inviting me to pray with her, or just by taking me to Mass, even though she knew I wasn't going to Mass, or even questioning the faith itself, you know. That love allowed me to just have an opening that then I was able to just on my own really begin to find comfort, find joy, find a way, not just with my relationship with my grandmother, but then I began to model that relationship I had with her with the kind of relationship that I wanted to have with God. And as I stepped back into the church, I began to find that joy. I began to find that purpose. And I began to understand the errors that I was committing, my sins. I began to recognize my sins. And I began to understand that I had to resolve that. And I had to make things right. And I think that's what we can do. You know, for those of you who continue to have bonds and relationships with people who identify as gay and transgender, I would say love them and meet them where they're at while fulfilling your own commitment to your faith.
That is beautiful advice. And I really appreciate hearing it. All right. So your dystopian book, which is bound to provoke a lot of thought, I'm sure, and in an exciting environment on these kinds of issues. If folks want to get a hold of it, where should they go? And where should they go just to learn more about you and especially, you know, who you are today?
Folks can find me on my website, JesusCancholaSanchez.com, which is my full name.com. I'm also active on X, so you can find me there as well. And the book, Escape from Natura Meta, my debut novel, I'm really excited to share it with everybody. It's available anywhere you can find books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, even a brick and mortar store. If they don't have it in stock, you can ask them to order it. Anywhere you get your books, you will find Escape from Natura Meta.
Wonderful. Well, Jesus, thank you for coming on the show today and sharing your story and sharing your new debut novel. And really appreciate speaking with you today.
Thank you, Tony.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for the show today. Again, we've been speaking with Jesus Canchola Sanchez about the journey back to faith from the LGBT lifestyle. Again, this is Anthony Barone Kolink. You can go to my website, anthonykolink.com, to learn more about me. But until next time, may God bless us as we rely on our faith to work through the messy challenges of our lives.